Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal, where we are reimagining the future of customer relationships, how we build them, how we keep them, and how we continue to lead as customer expectations rapidly evolve. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I am Lynn Whitbeck, the Joyful Sales Queen.
And we are going to have a fantastic conversation, I can already tell. So Lynn, tell me, what is your hot take?
My hot take is that you always want to anchor your pricing bias. And the way you do that, when you're in sales, or the business owner, the entrepreneur working with a prospect, is you're the first one to say the price, and you start with your highest priced product or service based on the conversation with the client. Because of course, some businesses, you may have multiple products or services, but start with the higher price because that anchors the pricing bias. So your prospect has that higher price fixed in their mind, because it's always easy to slide down the hill. It's very hard to climb up the hill. So you're setting expectations, and then you can have a conversation about what's the best service or product program for your client. What's the best fit?
That is a super spicy take, because it basically goes against what a lot of what I'll call the conventional wisdom is right now. Because I hear you have to have a low cost offer to get them in the door, something, you know, that they get hooked on and they get excited about. So you make sure you lead with whatever your low effort, low barrier option is. But you know what? Don't ever bring up the price, because you can't let them know what it's going to cost them to have the thing that they actually want. And we see this play out in sales all the time, whether we're talking business to business, business to consumer. So how are we using this to actually kind of flip what all of the gurus on the internet are telling us?
Well, first of all, they're wrong. So the key thing here is, I want to everybody remember, price is just a number, just like your age, right? It's just a number. And what you're really offering to your client is the value and the results that will be delivered. What people want to purchase is they buy the transformation. They buy the dream. They buy the goal. They buy the results. Okay. And when you position your product or service, and that's what you're focused on, you're not focused in the details or the weeds. What they want to know is how you're going to get them from where they are to where they want to be. And you have to have asked and ascertained what that is through your discussion with them. So setting your pricing bias is, that's where an advanced strategy, once you're in that conversation, to move the client forward to the next step, to working with you. And so that's where it's very critical to set that pricing bias. And even within other aspects, if you set a pricing bias for a very low cost, like a low cost entry, that's what you're talking about, that there can be something that's under $500 that people can make an instant decision that can be considered a first offer. The challenge with that is then they've got that price fixed in their mind, like a $500 price. And it's pretty hard for them to jump up to an $18,000 6-month program. I mean, that is a huge leap, right? Mentally, because what's happened is they've anchored the pricing bias. And don't ever let your client anchor that with, oh, well, I think I should only have to pay $2,000 for this. Well, no, it's an $18,000 program. Right. So you start with that high price, and that way you can determine and always provide them with three options. And it's like some people want this option because these are the results they want and how fast they want them. Some people choose this option, you know, the one in the middle, or most choose this because this is what they're looking for. These are the results they want. And then there are some who are really want to take their time. They like to have other people working with them. Let's say you're talking about a program, a group program. And so they want this offer. That's your lowest price offer. When you start at that higher price, they look at the middle and they go, that's a bargain. And those are the results I want. I'm going to go there. Because then you say, which one are you? Which one is best for you? Right. And then they make that decision and they get to stack that yes. Now, they may not have said, yes, I'm going to start working with you immediately, but they say, well, I really think that middle program is the best fit for me. So you just stacked a yes. And then you start talking about, when would you like to get started? Would you like to get started next week or this week? Right.
You've got whole page of notes from what you just said, because so many nuggets of really important things that I think people are probably missing out on.
Yeah.
And this pricing strategy, right? Simply saying like, this is the whole thing that we could do. Where do you fit? There's so much psychology into letting people pick their own spot on the scale.
Yeah. Because you're not selling at them. You're giving them a choice, right? You're letting them self-identify and choose, and because they are ultimately in control of this decision, right? It's your client who says yes, your prospect who says yes to become a client. And so you also never want to complicate things. You want to keep it very simple. Never give them more than three choices. Don't give them options on those three choices, because a confused mind, they won't buy. You need to keep it clean and simple. And it should always focus on the results, not on, well, we meet every week for an hour and then you'll have access to me with, you know, don't get into the weeds. Don't get into the details. What are the results that they're going to receive? All right. Why does it matter to them? What's in it for them?
So I had a salesperson that I used to work with. Well, I had a salesperson that I used to work with who he would immediately we'd close the deal and he would immediately start going into like weeds and trying to figure out how he can add more things onto this deal that we closed it. Let's celebrate. And I finally had to say to him, I looked at him, I said, you have to learn to take yes for an answer, because it was a yes. And it was always an and after the yes. And he always went so far down the rabbit hole that he never let people find value and get excited about the thing that they just bought, because there was always another shoe to drop.
Yeah. Yeah. The number one thing I would schedule is just our kickoff call. And then all the details get worked out in that. Like, I'll send you the contract. I'll send you the first invoice, you know, and sometimes there's a either or choice, you know, do you want a Stripe, or do you want me to send you an invoice that you're going to either snail mail or Zelle me a payment? Right. So there's a couple things that you can ask, but they're just clarifying. Right. But the number one thing is to get the kickoff meeting scheduled right then and there. Get that minimal actionable commitment, get that sorted. And then how do they want their invoice so they can get started? And that the payment has to be received. And once again, it depends on your product or service. For some B2B organizations, when you start working with another, they're going to issue a purchase order, right? And then you're going to invoice them and it's net 30 or what have you. So sometimes there's other things that have to be worked out, I should say, but you know, definitely getting that minimal actionable commitment for the next meeting or kickoff to get like some of the details worked out. Maybe it's getting the legal contract in place. It really depends on your business.
That was going to be my next question. Like, does this approach of setting the bias for the high end, does that work with all products, or is it more like for one-on-one coaching?
No, it works for everything. You always do that for everything, because when I was in corporate selling huge programs, what I would do is, you know, this is, you know, what the program costs. And then one of the things that I would do is like, but we have something that's, I think, going to be perfect for you. And that's a 90-day trial under a statement of work. And this is going to prove the concept. And that way we can get then move into the full program. And everybody's like going, well, yeah, I can do this for 90 days. And if I don't like it, we are out. And what we would do is that was structured so that at 45 days, we already had the meeting scheduled with all the people to show the results they had already realized after 45 days. And the way the contract, the statement of work was written, that it immediately went into a full 3-year contract. So people had a 90-day option, but we proved it at 45 days and they were like, yeah, we're moving forward. And because it was already written into the contract that it would automatically renew into a 3-year contract, it was a done deal. See, it was so easy. And that went into the full program price that they had gotten us. A 90-day, which was not it wasn't a lower price, but it was in 90 days. If it didn't work for them, they could just walk.
Yeah, there was an off-ramp.
So easy decision. So you always want to know your deal points. And your deal points don't have to be about price at all. There's so many different things you can use for deal points. Like in this case, it was a 90-day trial.
One thing you made a comment, and it's probably something that's so intuitive and natural to you, but not something I see in a lot of people who are in sales roles. You said, we proved the value in 45 days. And I find a lot of people are waiting until day 79, 89, whatever that number may be, to say, look how much value we've brought you. We've squeezed all the juice out of this lemon. But you're saying you haven't even got to the halfway point and you're already demonstrating that you're making value.
Yeah, no. And that was the way I structured it, because then it was an automatic renewal. And I had that renewal at day 45. I didn't have to wait. We already knew they were moving forward with the whole program. And we were setting the schedule for the next 6 months or year. And it was, you just take away any of the stress, the angst, or, you know, well, maybe we want to wait for a month, or, I mean, you just nip all of that in the bud, because you've proven the results and the concept so that everybody's excited about it, because they're in it right now. And it's like, they can see what's happening. And you just avoid all of that.
You make it undeniable that the renewal needs to happen.
And they don't have to do a thing. Yeah. Right. And they don't have to do a thing, because it's already written in the contract. There's no action they have to take.
Right. And getting through procurement sometimes is 99% of the challenge. And if you've already solved that problem before you have to fight that battle, that's a huge win for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And often getting in with a statement of work is a lot easier than a full blown contract. So, but the whole point is that the statement of work rolls into a contract.
Right. It's not some low cost thing that they're saying yes to now with no understanding of what comes next. Because I think a lot of people do these low cost offers and it's like, let's just say $250. Okay, you buy that $250 thing. Well, if you want the full program, it's actually $95,000. Like, that can't be a surprise to people. Otherwise, you're going to have a ton of people not renew after that first deal.
Well, the whole point is that the pricing bias was set that this was dirt cheap. And also, when things are dirt cheap, they don't associate value with them.
Right. I have expensive purses that are really just little things of leather, but because they have a pretty little logo on them, I paid a lot of more money for them. It's not necessarily the quality of the item. It's the perceived value that I've placed on it.
Oh, I know. There was a whole conversation I used to have in corporate about, you had to carry a $1,000 purse to, you know, and it was just like, what? I mean, I've always, you know, but I mean, I get it. You know, it's that perception, right? That type of thing. So,
right. But pricing is so psychological. We put so much of our own opinions and biases and misunderstandings of what value looks like simply because of a price.
Yeah. And it's your own emotions and motivations that get wrapped up into it. And the same thing, the price is the price. That's when you approach it, you don't apologize for it. You don't like, well, you know, it's just, this is a price, period. You know? And like I said, keep it simple. Don't have more than three options, because
oh my God, yes. Say that again for people in the back, because how many times have you seen a buffet style menu, Cheesecake Factory level of pricing options?
No. Yeah. No. And then don't tack anything on afterwards with options. Just, it's really simple. One, two, good, better, best is what I call it. Good, better, best.
I'm an accidental seller. I never intended to go into sales. I kind of just ended up in it. And I was with a pre-revenue startup, so we really didn't know what we were doing at all. And I used to joke with people like, okay, I've got two pricing options for you. You can have the Ferrari or you can have the Honda. Which one do you want to see? And without fail, people are like, I want to see both. And I'm like, great, I'll show you both. And then they can see the full spectrum of what's possible. And then they always feel so much better about it, because they decided what was going to be.
Yeah. And that's a great way. You can do it the same way, you know, that we have a Ferrari, we have, you know, I don't know, a Corvette. And then we got
our Honda, right? Reliable, still useful, but affordable.
So you can make a choice of these three. Yeah. Does Honda make a sports car? We'd have to figure that one out, but yeah.
Yeah. It's just a Civic. It's still good. It gets you where you need to go, but that's the joke I used to make. So if we're kind of in general agreement, because everything you're saying makes sense to me. What is the blind spot that business leaders have when it comes to doing this the right way? Why are they not doing what we're talking about, even though it makes sense?
Well, there's a couple things. One is fear, you know, about, you know, like they've got to be really confident in the value and that they provide. and how they help and serve their clients and the impact they create. And when you have that, then the price is just the price. And by starting, you always want to, and they may have that fear like, well, I don't want to start at the high price because I want to get them saying yes so I can get them up to the high price. But I'm telling you, it's much harder to climb the hill than to slide down the hill. So you always want to start with that high price. And so I think that there's a couple of things wrapped up in why they don't do that. One, it seems easier to start with a lower price and so that they get the interest and then they can demonstrate how to get the value to get to the higher price. Well, that's just no, because you've fixed their mind on this cheap price. Okay. And then some people are just really uncomfortable around pricing. They don't recognize that it's just an exchange for the value that you're going to be delivering. And you've got to let go of, because people have different money stories. And you've just got to let go of that. And it is a mindset piece. So I would really project that those are the two biggest challenges, the fear and their own money story that's wrapped up in that.
The interesting thing too, and this is maybe just like, hey, maybe this is a little bit of projection, but if you're going to start high, how can you make sure that you can deliver on whatever perceived value you just presented, right? So like using our car example, if I go out and I buy a Ferrari, you better believe that I expect that thing to run like a dream, right? So what happens if your pricing has you're the dog that caught the car and your pricing has overshot the value you're actually delivering? How do you square those two?
Well, first of all, if that's the case, you're not going to get additional business from this client, nor a referral or recommendation. So the simple thing is you've got to come with worthy intent that you truly desire to help and serve your client and give them the value for the exchange of dollars that you're going to deliver on your promise as a brand and organization. And if you can't do that, then what the heck are you doing anyway? I mean, I'm sorry, but ethically, you are now into that criminal shyster territory, period. I mean,
and unfortunately,
it's pretty black and white.
Well, unfortunately, there's people that are out there that are like, well, I would sell it to this guy over here for $20,000, but this guy over here is willing to pay $75,000. So, you know, same exact thing. But hey, what you're willing to pay for, there's a lot of people out there. Even honestly, I just saw an article that Delta is doing that now. They're going to use AI to adjust your prices on your tickets based on what you're willing to pay versus what they're actually charging for them.
Yeah, well, that was actually a whole scam that came out in it's U.S. Airways, I believe, or American, that's really doing that. And United backed off of it, and so did Delta to a certain extent, because it was like revealed and people were pissed, excuse me. But
oh, yeah,
it's like, you know, one of the things is that what happens is you end up, you can lose your reputation in 5 minutes that you spent 30 years building. Do you really, is that worth it? Do you want to be that kind of really, I mean, I would call that borderline criminal behavior. So the thing is that if you want to have that reputation to get introductions, to get referrals, to get additional business from your clients, then you need to treat them with respect and you need to treat them fairly. And that's the thing is about pricing. You don't think that those two people might be able to figure it out someday. They meet at a conference and they're talking. What do you think that person who paid $75,000 is going to do? It's going to be ugly. And that's the type of thing that, you know, when people look at your reviews, what do they all look at? The one-star review.
Oh, yeah. It's the first thing I do when I don't even read the five-star. I'm reading the one-stars only.
Yep, exactly. And if you get somebody mad about something like that, I mean, you can truly tarnish your reputation. Think about, I'm going to talk about United because that came up. United breaks guitars. They refused. They literally broke this guy's guitar. And you can look this up on YouTube. It's had over 23 million views. And he tried to sort this with United for a year. And then he wrote a song about it because he was a musician. it became this huge hit, number one hit on Apple, iTunes. He ended up being on the Today Show playing this song. It cost United hundreds of thousands of dollars in PR and from lost ticket sales, all because they wouldn't replace this guy's guitar. And the guitar company, when they found out about it, they gave him two new guitars.
Right. All it would have taken is someone inside of United to say, it's not that serious. It's a small thing for us. We can do this little thing and not and have one more happy customer, whether they were a musician who had the capability to make a song to ruin us or not, just a normal everyday person.
Yeah. Well, I recently used that whole piece with Alaska Airlines, and I finally got them to replace my luggage that they literally ran over with their one of their trucks.
Oh my goodness.
I could tell. And I pointed it out as soon as I went in and immediately did a claim. Well, even all the time I went back and forth with them, they paid somebody money for that.
Right.
Honestly, it when you look at it from the cost, right, and for your customer service and the experience, you've really got to think about what is our short-term loss versus the long-term cost and loss. And they don't do the math. They just simply don't do the math.
No, they figure you'll wear down and you'll go away eventually.
Yeah, and be ticked.
Yeah. So if a leader of a business wants to start really making sure they're positioning their business to not have this problem, to be have a bias for the right pricing for their business, for their customers, what is the first thing you would have them start doing?
Well, they really need to know their numbers. So when they've got to know their numbers about the product or service that they're delivering, what that is truly costing them, every single little thing, you know, and so they have a really solid handle on their cost. So they know the relationship then with their price, you know, with their profit. And then they have that confidence that they know that this is a fair price. And then what are they delivering for that price? And then you look at the return on investment. So when, example, sales consulting, you know, are they getting additional sales? How quickly are they getting additional sales? Are they getting additional sales that are at a higher profit? Are they getting additional sales with their ideal clients that are a win-win perfect fit? So you sort of start to look at these different things that you're delivering, and then you can qualify and quantify them. And when you're able to put that together, then it's like, you know, it's obvious. It makes a decision super easy. And then as you work with your clients, you gather that same information and you're able to have references. So if somebody wants to talk to somebody who's worked with you, you're able to create testimonials that really showcase the arc of where they were, what happened for them to decide that they needed to hire a sales consultant, what was the experience of working with you, what were their initial results that they realized after 30 days, and what were the long-term results having implemented the sales strategy that was recommended? You know, so you get that full arc. So now you really understand what value is being delivered, and you have essentially the love language of your ideal clients to use for your marketing.
And thinking about all the incredible people that you've had a chance to meet or aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way that we build relationships with our customers?
I would have to say Sandra Yancey. She is the CEO of eWomen Network. She's built her entire business from scratch with all herself, completely bootstrapped it to a multi-million dollar empire. She has a mission for 1 million women to generate $1 million in revenue. But she's the real deal. She's genuine. She's just so approachable. And it's about delivering the value of give first, share always, and lift as you climb. And she's been recognized as a CNN hero for her charity work. I can't say enough good things about her. She's just amazing. She shows up sometimes, no makeup, with her hair in a clip, but she shows up, right? And she's just a truly unique individual, very inspiring.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check her out because, one, I'm all about women helping women, right? That's definitely one of my mantras. But my thing that I always tell people is give first, give often, give without any expectation. So when you said that, I'm like, wait a minute. Sounds like she and I have a lot in common in terms of our personal approach to life.
Yeah, the core value match. It's absolutely, that's a core value match.
And if someone is really connecting with you, they need help. They have to figure out how to do this pricing, or they just want to talk to you about your experience and your background. Where can they find you online?
Well, you know what I want to recommend actually is for them to go to petitetoqueen.com/checklist, and they're going to get my sales strategy checklist. So this is going to help you in your sales to identify where you might have gaps, and that if you fill those gaps, you're going to perform better, you're going to get more sales, and you're going to be able to help and serve more people, creating that lasting impact. And that's why knowing what's happening in your sales and the strategy that you have behind that, that's how you create the consistent, repeatable, and scalable sales to grow your business.
Lynn, this was a fantastic conversation full of really great insights. Thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Alyssa. It was such a fun conversation.